Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26, says this, and if you don't have a Bible, it'll be up on the screen. It says this: "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, 'Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you.' But she was very perplexed at the statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. And he will be great and be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will rule and reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end.' Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I am a virgin?' The angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she was called barren and is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God.' And Mary said, 'Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Let's have another quick word of prayer if we can. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would meet with us here this morning as we dive into this beautiful passage of Scripture and look at Mary. Lord, we pray that you would use this Scripture again to remind us of your goodness, but also, Lord, to call us maybe from a place where we have grown comfortable, to a place to where, like Mary, we would learn to say yes to your call on our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, God shows up in places where quite often you and I would least expect it. You know, as we look and step into this narrative, it truly is amazing to me. I mean, it doesn't, you know, we look at it and we're like, man, this doesn't really make a lot of sense sometimes in how God shows up. And we see that throughout the pages of Scripture. We see Acts that the only way that they can be explained is that God is at the center of the narrative. The only way certain things can be explained in this life is that God showed up. And this is one of those narratives. I call it a narrative, not a story, because it's true. It's truth. And as we look into this, as we dive into this, we can only begin to imagine the thoughts that would have flooded Mary's mind. You know, we saw a little video clip with her holding a baby actor Jesus. And we see just some of the thoughts that are flooding her mind after the birth of the Messiah, you know, thinking about how is it wrong for me to have hopes and dreams for you as my child? Every mom has hopes and dreams for their kid. I mean, you know, and those are the types of things I don't think we think about. We often allow the most important passages of Scripture to become the stalest passages of Scripture for us, because we've heard them so many times. But I believe hidden within this are some amazing truths that you and I can apply to our lives as well. The first thing that I believe we can see is that God calls the unlikeliest of people. Right? He calls the people to serve him that you and I would least suspect. The people where it doesn't really make sense, which means that if you, in how you live and in your mindset, have sat back and said, you know what, God can't use me, you got to throw that phrase out. Get rid of it. Throw it out of your vocabulary. Because that's exactly how God works. He's not looking for someone that has a list of credentials. He's looking for someone like Mary who says yes. And we find it here, and actually look in verse 26. I'm going to read a couple verses, and then we're going to jump to verse 34, which will be up on the screen for you. But verse 26 says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." We skip down further again, verse 34. Mary says to the angel, "Well, how can this be since I am a virgin?" I mean, you know, we don't need a science lesson here, but God's saying, hey, look, he sends an angel. He says, you know, you're gonna give birth to the Son of God. She says, well, it doesn't make sense. And I think that's where we go in a lot of times, but one of the things I think we have to notice is we have to look at the reality of who she was in this moment. When God said, you know what, I desire to set forth a plan to rescue mankind from sin, I'm going to call the most unlikeliest of characters to be part of that plan. In the first century world, if you're going to set off a plan to create a domino effect, to change the world, Mary is the last person you would pick. You don't pick a young girl in a world that is very sexist, where women are property. You don't start there. That's where God started. You certainly don't start with someone that she's got nothing to her name. She lives in her parents' household. She's, you know, at some point there'd been an engagement set up to a man that I don't know if she even knew him that well. And God shows up with this messenger and he says, Mary, here's what's going to happen. And the amazing thing to me, though, is that as he shows up, the first thing he says is not, you know, Jesus is coming. He says, look, greetings, favored one. Because even though Mary was the most unlikeliest of people, even though God chose, I believe, to pour out on her life an extra portion of grace, there was something within this girl that was special that set her apart. I believe that there was a level of faithfulness where she was at that was acknowledged by God. And as he looks at her, the first part of the message that is said to her is, look, greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. Verse 29 is interesting. Again, as we look at this person who was the most unlikeliest of people, we look at this verse, it says, but she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. Do you know what I would do if an angel showed up? I would scream. Can I be honest? I would freak out. Like, I wouldn't, quite possibly, Mary had way more faith than I do. Right? This angel shows up to this teenage girl, young teenage girl, and he says, hey, greeting, favored one, right? Greeting, God's got some big things in store for you. Hey, the Lord is with you. And she sits there and thinks about it. I would run away, right? I don't know about you. I haven't had a lot of angel encounters, so maybe she's been, you know, I don't know, maybe she's been training for this, but there's a level of maturity that exists within this young lady that is acknowledged by God himself. So I believe even before we get into the Gospel of Luke and unlock other truths about her, and she clearly was a very faithful, faith-filled lady, I believe it's part of what existed within her heart before Gabriel ever showed up to her door. And it's a prerequisite, I believe, to being used by God to do big things. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. And we're in a world that doesn't emphasize it enough. Faithfulness. It matters where you are. It matters what you do. It matters how you do it. If we are striving every day to bring glory and honor to our Lord, He does take notice. When we look at the scriptures, we see time and time and time again where the Lord looked out over the earth and he saw Noah, and he used Noah. Why? Because he was the most righteous man on earth. We go to the book of Job. Satan shows up before the throne room of God and he says, "Hey God, you know what? I want to take out one of your people. I'm going to impress you with how powerful I am." And God looks him in the face and he says, "You know what? Hey, Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Because there is no one as righteous as he is in all the land." Meaning what? God notices faithfulness. You better believe it. So, which that should scare some of us sometimes, right? Every one of us has a chapter in our lives where that really should terrify us. That God is taking notice of the lack of faithfulness or lack of the presence of unfaithfulness in our lives. I believe that. But God calls the unlikeliest of people. So this angel shows up. He says, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." And she steps back and she's confused and she doesn't understand. She says, "Well, how can I be pregnant? I haven't done the things that make people pregnant." So just, there's children in the room. So she says, he says, "No, it's God. It's the Holy Spirit." I mean, and none of this makes sense. And she is just looking at this whole picture and she's saying, I don't really understand it. It says she's perplexed. She's confused. It says she's pondering these things. She's thinking over them and she's going, "I don't really understand, but wow, this is amazing." And actually, if we were to fast forward and look at the narrative of Mary after the birth of Jesus in Luke chapter 2, we find some of the exact same words used, that after the shepherds showed up and they worshiped the child, it says Mary pondered all these things in her heart. So we find that this is just part of who she is and how she digests what God is doing in and around her. But God calls the unlikeliest of people. This was a widely believed by many to be a fairly young teenager. Meaning what? If you're a kid, be faithful. God can use you for great things. Including the baby right there that's crying. Remain faithful. Because God calls the most unlikeliest of people. Even you. No matter where you sit, no matter how unlikely you think you are, I think one of the things that we find in Luke chapter 1 is the reality that God can use anybody. And we need to believe that. God calls the unlikeliest of people. The next thing we find is the fact of where she is. This is interesting because as we look at this passage of Scripture, we find that God calls people from the unlikeliest of places, right? And we see this here as we, again, look at the life of Mary. We find in verse 26, it says that the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. We fast forward and we find that, you know, one of the relatives of Mary is also pregnant. Well, that lady lives in Jerusalem, which would make sense. It's the holy city. You'd think that that's where something big would happen. You would think that that's where God would show up in a major way. In fact, Scripture, John chapter 1, verse 46, I believe we've got that going up on the screen here. We find this statement about Nazareth. He says, this guy Nathaniel says, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Anything at all?" Because as people sat back and looked at it, they were like, this is not the best place, right? This isn't where we want to see something awesome happen. This is not known as the nicest city in town. I mean, this is not known as the place I want to raise my family. No, that's not it. And certainly if God's going to show up and do something amazing, he's not going to start there. But reality is that's where he does start so often. See, God is not dictated to, or we don't dictate to God where he should show up and how he should do things. The problem is we're often looking in the wrong spots. So we miss, we miss when he's at work. And he shows up in the most unlikeliest of places. And God says, you know what? I don't really care what Nathaniel said. I can do whatever I want. Just open your eyes and be ready. And we find, again, we find God calls and uses the most unlikeliest of methods. As we look at this chunk of scripture again, it says he called, what, again, a young teenage girl who was a virgin. Why didn't Jesus just get teleported down from heaven and show up and start doing awesome things? And people will be like, wow, look at that guy. He showed up, he teleported. That's amazing. Where'd he come from? We don't know. And he could, no, but this was part of God's plan. In such a way that it was undeniably divine. Even other secular religions throughout the world have had to come to grips with the reality that the birth of Jesus was not normal. And there's a ton of them, major world religions, that don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that have had to wrestle through some of this stuff. It's quite interesting. You can use religions that deny a lot of what we believe to prove that Jesus had a unique birth. You can use secular or secular thought and other religions that deny what we believe and prove that Jesus died on the cross. You can use other religions that go against what we believe and prove that when Jesus walked on earth, he did miracles. Did you know this? You can prove that his body disappeared after he had been in the grave. Now, they try to explain it all away, but what they do is they back up the reality of Scripture. It's very interesting. But again, God uses the most unlikeliest of methods to fulfill his plan. And we see that time and time and time again in the Word of God, right? I mean, there are so many narratives in here that we look at and we're like, that's crazy. Well, no. What it's doing is it's showing that nothing, nobody else could have done it but God. That's what it does. And again, it shows that there's nobody here that God cannot use. We just have to get to that place where we find Mary in verse 38. And we need to say yes to the call of God on our lives. What does she say? After she hears all of this, you think she could very easily be a little overwhelmed and said, you know, let me think on it, let me pray on it, let me run away. I don't know what I'm going to do. It says, no. Mary said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. So she steps back from all of this. Slightly more mature than I was at, say, the age of 14 or 15. She steps back from all of this and says, you know what? God, have your way. And she knew in the back of her mind, in the first century world, that she was going to go have to have a conversation with her parents that her parents would not believe. Oh, Mom and Dad, I'm pregnant. I mean, some of you have probably had that conversation. But here she is. She has this conversation. I mean, none of you said it was the Holy Spirit, that's for sure. But she said, look, it was the Holy Spirit. And I'm not sure Mom and Dad believed it. And we talked about Joseph last week. She had a conversation with Joseph. And Joseph decided, you know what, I need to end this engagement because this is nuts. That girl's pregnant, and that's not my baby. And she knew that this was going to be the response all around her. She lived in a first century world that, you know what, if her dad desired to pursue it, or Joseph desired to pursue it, she actually could have been put to death for not living according to the standards of the morals of the day. And she knew all this, and despite all of that, despite her fears, her unanswered questions, she said yes. And I believe that quite often you find God's people in a, maybe not, I say, a similar area, because I don't think any of you are, anyway. I don't think we can completely relate to this, but we can relate to the reality that God has called each of us to a task, right? I believe that. We can relate to the fact that, you know what, we don't have all the answers to said task, so it takes us to a place of paralysis. We can relate to the fact that we don't have all the answers, and it takes us to a place of fear. It takes us to a place of anxiety, and anxieties that we just could not have prepared for because life threw us a curveball, or God says, hey, I want you to go here, and you said, God, that was never part of my plans. Mary did not lay awake at night dreaming about carrying the Son of God. I guarantee you that. That was not part of her plans prior to this angel showing up. Everything about her life was rewritten in one conversation. Everything. And I don't know. Maybe her relationship with her parents was never the same. But it did not lead to an easy life. Here's a lady that we are told was at the foot of the cross when Jesus breathed his last. It was not an easy life. But it was a necessary life. It was a necessary yes for the work of the kingdom. And I believe as we look at Mary and we consider our own lives, that while we cannot relate to a lot of the decisions that she had to make, I believe we can relate on the end that, you know what, there are probably areas in our lives where we have never said yes to the Lord about. Whether it be fear, whether it be anxiety, I don't know. I can't speak for others. But I believe that God has called us each uniquely as his servants. So, I just want to talk real briefly about that concept, if we can. Because I believe that, you know, well, you and I probably aren't going to have Gabriel show up at our house, I don't think. Anyone ever have that happen? No? Okay, good. All right. If you did, I want to talk about that. That would have been exciting. But we probably won't have that happen. But we have all been called into the service of our God. And so here, I just want to share with you a couple quick things that I believe are incredibly important for God's people. None of them are earth-shattering. None of them are things you haven't heard before. But I believe they're all necessary. The first thing we should do is find out what God has already said. Find out what God has already said. I think there's a ton of church people, right? Not here, but everywhere. Church people in general, people that love God, that walk around, they're like, well, what is the will of God? What does God desire for my life? What is that big thing that he's called me to? And they never find it. And they live with this internal battle that they are just longing for, looking for. And I believe that we have to back up a little bit, and we need to find out what God has already said. Find out what God's already said. We have the living, breathing Word of God in our hands. Psalm chapter 119, 105, verse that you've probably all heard before. It says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." It's a verse that many of us memorized when we were kids. But if that's true, if it really lights the way and sheds light on those areas of darkness, then we need to treat it as such. You know, we're going to have a hard time finding out what God's next step for our lives is if we don't hear God talking. How does he communicate? The Word of God. living, breathing, and active, Scripture tells us. We must be students of his word. And like Mary, what did she do? She heard the message. She was concerned. She was confused. But what did she do? She sat back and she pondered, it said. She mulled the things over. She meditated, if you will, on the message that she had heard. And I would challenge you to do that. You know, maybe not, and you don't even have to pray, hey, God, reveal to me the next step. Just become a student of God's word. And oftentimes there are things that will completely just jump off the page at you as you pursue God, not what you pursue, what's for you. You pursue God, God will push you in directions that you've never seen before. I believe that. There are many times in my life where I said I would never have a preaching ministry. Did you know that? I said that to God himself, actually. Don't do that. I'm stuck. No, I'm kidding. I like it. I love it, Lord. All right. No, but I said, no, I don't want to do that. You know, I want to do, you know, well, first it was, God, I don't want to go into ministry. And then he won, and I became a youth pastor. And then I was a youth pastor, and I said, you know what? I will never be a senior pastor. I want to only be a youth pastor. And now I just don't say anything anymore. Because I don't know what will happen. But our responsibility is to put ourselves in a place where we can hear from God, which means we are in his word. We are students of his word. Find out what God has already said, and we might be surprised at what he's saying now. Secondly, pray and ask God to speak to you. Pray and ask God to speak to you. Jeremiah chapter 33, Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, it says, call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you the great and mighty things which you do not know. Meaning what? God knows more than you. It's amazing to me how anyone here ever find themselves in a prolonged place of stress and realize you've really never prayed about it. Anyone? Let's be honest, right? Right. We'll pray about other stuff. We'll thank Jesus for the bread, but we seem to forget that he's bigger than us and he knows things that we don't know. I mean, look at the whole narrative in Luke chapter 1. Who could have thought? Right? I mean, that's crazy. I mean, but he showed up in an amazing way. And I believe that there are a lot of people, again, walking around with a sense of spiritual blindness that are God's people. They aren't blind to the reality of the gospel, but they're blind to the reality of what the gospel is supposed to be doing in them and through them right now. Why? Sometimes it's because they aren't students of the word. Sometimes it's because they aren't speaking to the one whose word it is. When was the last time, and this is, answer quietly, if you would, but when was the last time you genuinely said to the Lord, Lord, I want you to show me exactly what you would have me do as your child? Not God, give me a better job. Not God, help the dishwasher to get fixed on its own. Not God, can my kids be quiet before 6 in the morning? Not those prayers, right? We pray those, right? But what about God? Scripture tells me that I am a steward of the gospel. Scripture tells me that I have been called by you as your child, not to just hang out and be called your child, but to be a servant of many. God, how would you have me do that? What does that look like in my life as someone that's maybe gifted in X, Y, and Z? And sometimes he calls us to areas we aren't even gifted in, and it's mind-blowing. But hey, Mary was certainly not equipped to carry the Christ child. But pray and ask the Lord to speak to you. You might be surprised what he does. You might be surprised. And then thirdly, I think there's something that we really don't emphasize as much as we should anymore. And it's the idea of seeking counsel from trusted advisors. Because truthfully, there's a lot of people that I know that don't have anyone they trust. Right? To a certain extent, they do. But very few people have someone they can throw all the chips on the table for, right, in front of, right? They're, hey, here we go. We're gonna lay it all on the line here. Why? Because eternity hangs in the balance for some people out here. It matters that we get it right. Proverbs 15:22 says, without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. There have been times when I have thought I knew the plan, I knew the direction. Anyone ever get there? You're like, I think I know. And then you pursue counsel. And, you know, Cliff Note version is they say you're an idiot. Cliff Note version, right? They don't actually say that, but they're like, no, that's a terrible idea for your life. Don't do that. Or, hey, let me help direct you in this area. Hey, I'm glad you asked. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but God has incredibly gifted you over here. And there are times where we have those conversations, and I've had some of these conversations. People approach me, they said, I really feel you're gifted in X. And I went, I am? I've never seen that before. Well, that's not on them, that's on me. It's because I've never asked. I've never allowed people to be as honest as they should be with me. So, and that was part of, again, what we see in the life, I believe, of Mary. As she sits there and she dialogues, she says, hey, how can this be? The message that you just shared with me, it doesn't make any sense. How can it be? I'm a virgin. I'm not married. my dad's going to get mad. He's going to load the shotgun. I don't know what she said, all of it, because I'm sure there was more to the conversation than the part that the Lord felt we needed to see. But there are times when I believe we miss out on God's plan for our lives and things that we should do because we are our own most trusted advisor. Right? And I think part of the reason for this is everybody in this room has gotten burned. Right? Everybody's gotten burned. Everybody's gotten hurt. Everybody's had somebody stab them in the back. And so it's hard for us, I believe, at times to say yes. And I believe that's one of the enemy's biggest tools, where that one point we said, we need to find out what God has already said. I believe in the other ear, the enemy's whispering what's already been done. Hey, this is what you did. This is who you are. This is how you got burned in the past, whatever. When reality is, God is saying, you know what? Truthfully, there may be consequences for your past, but they really don't matter. I can use anything. I can use anybody. All you need to do, and I think this is something that we need to hear. All we need to do is make Luke 1:38 the prayer of our hearts. And like Mary, go before God, even though we don't understand the whole story. Mary did not understand the whole story. Mary did not understand the extent at which everything was going to play out around her. Mary had no clue what it was going to look like when she talked to mom and dad. She had no clue what it was going to look like when Jesus grew up and left the house. And she kept hearing stories about people who were after him and wanted to kill him. She had no idea. But what she did is she owned the part that God called her to first. If we are going to be used by God to do great things for the kingdom of God, we, like Mary, have to make this our prayer. Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. I believe that God has bigger things in store for everybody in this room. And the biggest obstacle to those things, at least in my life, is me. And we need to do a better job of not talking about trusting in the Lord, not declaring what the Bible said, but doing it. And saying, yes, Lord, I don't really care where the chips fall. Well, we do care. Lord, I'm scared. God, I don't have all the answers, but it's more important to me that, like Mary, I am at the center of your will and that you would use me to fulfill your purposes. Because this world's a mess. God needs more servants. All right, what does Scripture tell us? It says the fields are white unto harvest. They're ready. But the laborers are few. And that's because some of the would-be laborers never say yes to the call. When the one who owns the field makes the call. And so I want to challenge you this morning before we close. And number one, that if you believe the lie, and it's a lie, that you can't be used by God, that you would let that go. As we look in the Scriptures, to fulfill God's purpose, we find adulterers, murderers, prostitutes, and a whole bunch of people that we would consider undesirable. God can rewrite your story starting right now. If you'd give it over to Him. And so if you are in a spot where you're going, well, I'm not the person God will use. Well, you know what? God can use the most unlikeliest of people from the most unlikeliest of places, using the most unlikeliest of circumstances surrounding them. But it starts with saying yes. Yes, Lord, use me. Here I am, send me. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for a faithful woman like Mary. Lord, as we look at her, we cannot imagine the fears and doubts and anxiety and other things that faced her. But Lord, in spite of all of that, she allowed her view of you and your mission to be bigger. And so, Heavenly Father, I pray as we look at our doubts and our concerns and our fears and other things this Christmas season, I pray that one of the things that we see as we look at this amazing narrative, which the power of God is at the center of, that we would recognize there's nothing that's too big for our God. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here who is sitting back or has sat back or has believed the lie of the enemy that they'll never be used, that they're not good enough, Lord, that you would break through in their minds and let them know that you can use anybody, that you can redeem anything, and that you can transform even the most evil of minds. And use them according to your purpose. And we see that with the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. It's amazing. So again, Heavenly Father, we just pray for those who are battling with their minds. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to be able to give those things over to you. And I pray that those that have a call on their life, but they haven't said yes. Lord, give us the courage to say yes. Help us to trust you more than we talk about trusting you. May it be a reality in our hearts. And Lord, again, may you bless your people and use them for amazing things. And again, we thank you this Christmas season for reminding us of your goodness, reminding us of your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.